But it just seemed a great opportunity to talk a little bit about what baptism is really all about. And all we want to do in the next 10 minutes is talk about that. But first of all, I'd like you to take a look at this video, because really what we're about is transformation. And what better example than Mr. Bean? If only transformation was that simple. I wonder if I could ask you a question. If you could have the perfect body or world peace, what would you choose? Well, that was precisely the question that was asked on a program called Britain Unzipped. And, hello, don't recognize that. And they asked this question about whether you'd rather have the perfect body or world peace. And interestingly enough, 47% of women and 42% of men chose the perfect body over world peace. I'd like to do the survey in the church and see. You're all going, oh, really? 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 Statistics say most of us are unhappy. I mean, when you're as bald and old as I am, you've long since given up on that game. But for lots of us, especially for young people, you know, they're not happy and they would like to change. Now, maybe you think, well, that's just crazy, superficial stuff. I wouldn't change. You know, I accept. I'm comfortable in my own skin, and I really hope you are. May I say, you're beautiful. But those issues of transformation are really much more than skin deep. The issues and the questions of transformation run much deeper than that. Questions like this: have I really found my purpose in life? Who am I? Am I wasting my life? What would lead to happiness? Can anyone ever forgive me? Could I ever forgive myself? Could I learn to forgive? What can I do with my shame? Will anyone ever truly love me if they knew what I was really like? These are the often unspoken questions, but actually they're questions we very often ask ourselves. These are the issues of our soul. Awake, my soul. And I believe that those questions really are written into our DNA. We are caterpillars. The trouble is, we'd really like to be butterflies. We'd love to learn to fly. Now, for any budding entomologists here, I know that probably isn't the right caterpillar to go with that peacock butterfly. Don't worry about it. It's just an illustration. But in fact, the story of Scripture really is a story that goes like this. There is a way. There is a way of living in harmony with the universe. The one who made the universe also made you. He didn't make it for us to have huge distance between us, but we were made to live in harmony with the one who made all things. And the story of Christian faith that we're celebrating today is that God did not remain distant, but came to us in Jesus Christ. I'd like to read, in fact, just a few verses from Scripture to you. This is a book in the New Testament called Galatians that were a group of people in sort of, what is it, Eastern Europe, I guess. And Paul was writing to him and he said this: so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Something good is going on through Jesus. Some work of transformation is happening through Jesus. And I just wanted to talk very, very simply about what that might mean. Because these four people this morning are being baptized into Jesus. Elsewhere in the Bible, Paul talks about actually being crucified with Jesus. It's like they go under the water, which sort of symbolizes death, and then they rise out of the water, which not only symbolizes cleaning, not just cleaning on the outside, but cleaning on the inside, but rising to new life with Jesus. What could it possibly mean? Well, I think the three words that perhaps sum it up is this: they are under new management. The old has gone, the new has come. These four people this morning are doing what people have been doing for, millions of people have been doing for over 2,000 years. They are saying emphatically, yes to Jesus. He is the author of life. He's the master of life. He's the one person I can trust to really know how to live my life. And now I'm not simply going to believe in everything he's done, but I'm going to apprentice myself to him. I'm going to learn from him. I'm going to learn the ways of Christ. I'm going to learn what it means to live in harmony with the universe, to live in harmony with God, to live in harmony with my family, with my friends, and to live in harmony even with my enemies. We're going to be learning from Jesus, the four of us and me and the rest of the church, as we journey with you on your faith journey. We're learning how to live our lives without worry. We're learning how to live our lives without anger. We're learning how to live our lives without the constant lust for more and more. We're learning from the master of life himself. See, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple means. And so what's true of Ian and Sam and Josh and Amy, as we often say, is you are unceasing spiritual beings. You have already claimed the eternal life of God Almighty. And they are no longer living for their own agenda anymore, but they are under new management, living for Christ, in harmony with God, learning to love him with all their heart and all their mind, all their strength and all their soul, apprenticing themselves to Jesus. But there's more to it than that. You see, God, we believe, has a plan in the world. They're people on a mission. They're not simply called to have their own little nice, private, cozy spirituality, but they're called in to serve and to love the world just as Christ did, to rescue people, if you will. And I love these very ancient definitions of what it means to be on mission. One was from St. John of the Cross, written hundreds of years ago. Mission is putting love where love is not. These people are learning the way of love. And you are called into the dark places of this world to put love where love is not. Or one of my favorites, St. Francis of Assisi. To be on mission is to live with the rhythm of God's love with those who don't have it. See, it's much more than a private personal spirituality thing. This is a life full of mission and purpose. They have no option for this to be private and personal. This is public. This will result in action. They will take love where love is not. They will live out the rhythms of God's love with people who know nothing of God's love. So, and I want to do a little plug for next week. If you're around next week, do come to the sermon. We'll be talking about the rich young ruler. Some very interesting things to say about what our culture values versus what God values. Our culture's telling you, accumulate what you can. Get what you can. This is all there is. Get as much as you can for yourself. But Jesus is saying some very counterintuitive things. Actually, let go of what you can. Let go of it. You don't need it. All you really need is me. And that's the journey these four are on and we're celebrating. That's the journey I'm on and the journey this church is on. We are living counterculturally to the world. The world is saying accumulate wealth, we're learning to give it away. There's one for a starter. There is so much to learn from the author of life, from Jesus himself. And so guys, the four of you, you're not living for your own agenda anymore. You're living as Christ's ambassador. Sam, this is going to take you into school and college, and unlike your friends who perhaps aren't following Jesus, you've got a whole new agenda. You're putting love where love is not. You're not there simply to get your own education and get your own qualifications. You've got a whole new agenda. That's an important part of why you're at college, but you're actually there as Christ's ambassador. And Amy and Josh are about to embark on this fantastic journey of marriage at the end of this month. What a wonderful thing. But let me tell you, marriage is under threat at the moment. And it's going to take Christ's love, you know this, to make your marriage work. We'll say more about this later on in the month. But you know, that marriage is going to be such a blessing, not just to each other. We know you guys are madly in love with each other. But you know, there's going to be more love for the rest of us because your marriage works. That's how it works. That's why marriage is so important. And Ian, let me tell you, I've learned some of the most important people in the Bible, that God saves it for their later years. And they turn out to be the most significant. So Ian, don't you think just because you're getting on a bit, that God hasn't got a rich plan for your life? Because he really does. And when that time comes when we are called to surrender our mortal bodies, and who knows when that will be, then Christ will help us to do that without fear, knowing that this isn't the end of the story at all. This is just moving through to the next stage of eternal life with God. And that's what we're celebrating this morning, and that's what baptism is all about. So thank you for letting me explain that to you. I'd like to turn my attention from these four to the rest of you. And I guess we've got a very mixed audience here this morning. There's people who've been coming to church for years and years, and you've been baptized, and you're just excited to see more people getting baptized. There's other people who've been coming for a while, and you haven't been baptized. And you're perhaps not really sure why you should be baptized, because, you know, you're a Christian, you're following Jesus. Well, I just want to say baptism is really significant. It's putting down a marker, it's putting down a day where you publicly declare your faith in Christ. And for people who are baptized, it is always significant. Christ has promised to be there. And others of you are going, I don't know what's going on, but I think there's something in this. I mean, they may be nutters, but I can't describe it. Well, the Bible's got this old-fashioned word that we often misunderstand. It's called repentance. And what repentance really means is taking on a whole new worldview, turning away, turning around from the way you used to think and embracing the life of Christ, learning a whole new way to think. You instinctively hate your enemies, and Jesus is training you to bless your enemies. You instinctively protect yourself and defend yourself. And Jesus is saying to let go of your reputation, your ego, and follow him. To repent means to turn away from our old selfish ways, from our ways that hurt people, from the ways that hurt ourselves, from our rampant materialism of accumulation, and turn simply to trust Jesus. To say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you now. And this is what people have been doing ever since Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago. And the way into Christ and into his church is through baptism. So at the end of this service, this bit's going to be kind of empty here. And anyone who believes that maybe God by his Spirit is touching you this morning and that you think you may need to get baptized, please come forward. Just love to have a word with you and pray with you and talk to you a little bit more about baptism. That would be a real privilege. Let's pray together. And so, Father, we come to this ancient ritual that to modern eyes seems very strange indeed. We've erected a little wooden paddling pool outside. Four people are about to go in and get soaked. And yet, Lord, this, well, seemingly ridiculous ritual is infused with meaning and power spiritually. What seems nonsense to the world is actually the life of God pulsating through the centuries into this day. The 1st of July, 2012. We believe your spirit is active. So, Lord, right now, we pray for Ian. We pray for Sam. We pray for Amy. We pray for Josh. We ask your Holy Spirit will fill them and equip them. As they surrender their lives to you, may you use them to be lights to the world, to be truly ambassadors of Christ. Father, we pray for ourselves, and we pray especially for people here who have been hurt by life, who have been worried by life, who've been beaten down by life. May this be the day, Lord, that they turn to you, that they repent, and they see the author of life, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the one who is in the beginning and who made everything, is desperate to have a relationship with them. May this be a life-changing day for all such people. For we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.